Welcome back to Shattering Mess. Better part of a week ago, I was having a discussion with Aaron, who produces the Shattering Mess program, about a news article that appeared in the New York Times. It was a front page story, and it brought to light the evidence behind and the malfeasance behind a story that I had followed for some time. And let me introduce Aaron. He's going to provide the background for this story, because we're going to have a discussion as to what the consequence of the, what I consider to be, and we'll see if Aaron agrees, rather egregious behavior on the part of this young man in question, the coaching staff of the football team, the University of Florida State as a whole, and the Tallahassee Police Department specifically. What should the result be of their collective bad behavior? So, Aaron, if you wouldn't mind, why don't you give us a background as to what happened? I guess it would have been a year ago, December.
Yes. So what happened was the quarterback for the Florida State University football team was accused of a rape against a freshman. And what happened, the freshman, and if I misspeak it, I'll just correct me, because I may have
a okay. And the football player's name is Jameis Winston, right?
That is correct. So this freshman, who I do not believe is named at all, went to the bar, and at this bar on Thursday nights on the campus, you pay $10 to get in, and all of your drinks are free, which is a bit of a situation in itself.
Yes.
So she went with several friends and claims to have only had about five or so drinks, so not enough to be completely gone.
Yeah, I think what she said here, and it is relevant, is that she was under 18, which means she could not buy the right to buy drinks. She probably shouldn't even have been let into the bar under that case, that situation, and that she shared five or so drinks with a number of her friends. So she didn't have five drinks. Between all of her friends, they consumed the equivalent of five drinks.
Yes, she had at least one friend over 21 that was purchasing the drinks.
Correct.
Throughout the
night. Mm-hmm.
During that time, she met up with a football player who introduced himself to her, and they talked a little bit. And then she, if I'm not mistaken, basically found herself in a cab with that football player as well as two other football players who she did not recognize.
Uh-huh.
And from that cab, they went to the apartment or dorm, I forget which, I believe it was an apartment, that was shared by several of the football players, including Jameis Winston.
Right, and one of his teammates.
At least one.
Right.
There were several.
Who was a participant in all of this.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And then she found herself to be, because she said that she was blacking out periodically and only remembered bits and pieces of
right.
the night,
right.
which is also suspicious. If she only shared five drinks, that leads me to believe that something was in one of them, if
yeah.
that is what happened.
She was given actually a sobriety test when she was evaluated for rape, when they did what they called a rape kit on her, and she was not intoxicated to the point where she would have lost her memory as a result of intoxication. So she was, what they unfortunately did not do is they did not run a test for Roofie, the date rape drug.
Yes, no kind of drugs like that. So the two outcomes are either she's lying or she was drugged. Or
right.
That's
correct.
Those are the only two outcomes that I can see leading
right.
to that situation.
Right.
So, while she was having non-consensual sex with Jameis Winston in his room, one of the other players, who was in the living room, I believe, came to the door, which was
mm-hmm.
broken so it could not be locked,
mm-hmm.
and looked in and saw her performing certain acts on him,
mm-hmm.
and began recording it on his cell phone unnoticed.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, Jameis Winston did notice him, and decided to move things to the bathroom where the door did lock, even though the football player that she had met earlier, who was in the room, said, hey, you know, cut that out. This is not a situation you should find yourself in. It's not the right thing to do.
Right.
So after all of this took place, Jameis Winston put her on his scooter, scootered near to her dorm, but not to her dorm, and dropped her off. And she walked into her dorm, at which point she called her friend, who came over, heard the story from her, called 911. 911 came, and they did the rape kit and took her testimony.
Yep. She filed out a complete report at the time.
Yes.
And at the time, she did not know the name of Jameson Wilson. He was not well known at the university at that time because he had redshirted as a football player, and he's well known now because he won the national championship and won the Heisman Trophy. But he was not well known at that time, and that subsequently, on seeing him in the media in Tallahassee, Florida, she then later called the police department and said, "I can now identify the my rapist. He is Jameis Winston." And of course, that became another issue with the Tallahassee Police Department. So, what happened when she actually identified her assailant? She was talking about this case with the Florida Tallahassee Police Department.
Well, she was actually in a class with him, and then when they were reading off the names, she saw,
okay,
that's him, and then matched the name to the face and told them. So once that happens, I believe the police spoke with her briefly, but what they did not do was speak with him immediately. What they did do is wait a little bit, and then they called him on the phone and said, "We would like to speak with you regarding this." He said, "Oh, I've got baseball practice. I'll call you back later." And in the time between them calling him and him calling them back, he had lawyered up and said, "I'm not saying anything about this at my lawyer's advice. You can talk to them if you want to have any kind of discussion."
Yeah, and then subsequently, the police finally, months later, got Jameson's DNA. And they ran a test and found out that her claim was correct, that it had been Jameson. The DNA matched. So her pointing the finger at this guy is irrefutable. It was definitely she had sex that she thought was non-consensual with this fellow. And there's no question that he was the person with whom she had sex. The only question becomes, was it non-consensual or consensual? And she went and did the whole rape kit and went through the whole purpose of filing the police report saying, yeah, it was non-consensual. Now, those are the facts. There's a little bit more. As you study the response and the attitude of the Tallahassee Police Department, what did you find?
Well, in addition to that first step of incompetence by Knotts pursuing anything until months and months later and talking to us and getting his DNA, they also had heard the full story from her, and after hearing that there was a roommate videotaping them, they did not make any effort to find him, to find the video, until a few days afterwards, at which point he said that he had already deleted the video. So
yeah, because he's also lawyered up.
Yes, so that was the biggest piece of, I mean, if you have that video, that can make or break. That would be the biggest piece of evidence to make the decision of if it was consensual or not, in my opinion.
And according to the victim here, she says that she was told by the Tallahassee Police Department that since this was a football town and since he was a big-time football star, that she should really think over bringing this case because, you know, she is going to be attacked by fans of Florida State football if she brings this case.
Which may or may not be true. She probably would be put under some scrutiny. I believe the lawyer, or it was either the lawyer for Winston or the police that said, I believe they used the words, raked over the coals if she decided to pursue this line of accusation.
Okay, so that's basically the story. Then we have an announcement months later, about a week before the vote for the Heisman Trophy, that the district attorney for the state of Florida says that he's reviewed the evidence, and from what he has seen, that he is not going to indict him. He said, made it very clear, he says, not because there isn't evidence which would suggest that he may have perpetrated this rape, but because the Tallahassee Police Department's response to it has been so bad that we don't think that we can make the case hold up in court just because the opportunities to gather evidence on behalf of the victim have long since passed.
For instance, at the bar, which was called Potbelly's, they have somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 security cameras. By the time that the police had gone to try to get the security cameras to see what interactions went on, they had been taped over.
Right. Would have been easy to find the cab driver had you tried to do so the following day after the report of the rape, but they didn't attempt to do so until many months later when it became impossible to find the cab driver.
As well as see if anything was slipped into one of the drinks that she and her friend shared.
That is correct. Issue after issue. And so with that knowledge, I think almost everybody who is informed recognizes that the Tallahassee Police Department that, in fact, there's other cases that are pending right now having nothing to do with this particular case where the grand jury has concluded that the Tallahassee Police Department should be dissolved and the officers which are salvageable should come under the authority of the Tallahassee Sheriff Department.
Which I agree with.
And I agree with that, too. That there ought to be a consequence, and one of the consequences of not working to protect victims of sexual assault is that the Tallahassee Police Department's, all of its senior administrators ought to be fired. The second thing that becomes obvious is that the university did nothing on behalf of this girl. Now, if you were the coach of the football team, if you were the athletic director of this school, once you are made aware that your star football player is being accused of rape, would you have called that young man aside and say, you know, this is not a court of law, but I want you to know that playing football here and representing this university is a privilege, it's not a right?
Very much so. I agree with you in that you should drag him aside, and this is his opportunity to convince you that that there was nothing wrong that night, or to fess up and say, okay, here's what actually happened, but you shouldn't leave it in that gray area of, oh, we'll leave it to the police that are completely incompetent, which has been proven.
Right. Now, when we return to Shattering Mist, we're going to talk about how this should have been handled, and since it was not handled this way, how many other people should lose their jobs over it, and why we as a society don't seem to care that victims of sexual abuse go unpunished, as well go unprotected, and the perpetrators go unpunished, and more about this story. Welcome back to Shattering Mist. We're fortunate to have Scott joining Aaron and I here in this discussion. So to bring us up to speed, we know that the Tallahassee Police Department shirked their responsibility in favor of their fandom for Florida State football. We find that the University of Florida State did virtually nothing to protect either of the two female students who were sexually assaulted by Winston. And we find that the coaching staff did nothing as well. And so we left it at what would we have done, what should have been done differently. And with the comment that Aaron was making, at the very least, if you're the coach of the football team, if you're the athletic director, you tell Mr. Winston that playing football there is a privilege. It's not a right. That this is not a court of trial, a court, but there is a code of conduct that is expected not only of university students, but also of athletic students, student athletes, and that he needs to have a darn good explanation as to what happened that night to be able to continue to play football, or he's going to be suspended for a number of games or for the rest of his career, because this was the second claim of sexual abuse that has been leveled against him.
That's another big issue in this, is that the two people that his two teammates that were with him that night, the university did find them to have violated the code of conduct.
Mm-hmm.
So if they violated the code of conduct and he was the primary, you know,
instigator
of the situation, why wasn't he found to be in violation
right.
as well?
And what were the consequences of the university findings that they were in violation of the code of conduct? This poor girl both of them were students, both of which have left the university. Both of them have been tossed aside as if they were a hunk of meat.
Exactly. And another big issue with this whole thing and how it's all playing out is that now the university, the only person that benefited from this entire thing is the university. Because they won a national championship, and he was the primary reason in that.
And a Heisman Trophy.
And a Heisman Trophy. So now he's going to go on for, with all the reports that are coming out from the New York Times and the USA Today, he's going to go on with a cloud of, you know.
Of course.
With
and
a
should.
Cloud over him. And he should.
And should. And it should be worse than a cloud.
But that's the thing, is that he should go on with that cloud. But because they didn't follow through with this investigation, now this the victim of this whole thing, or the victims,
right.
Which it's very key, the victims, it's not
right.
Victim, it's victims, they have to go on without any closure. Somebody that
right.
did something horrible to them without having any sort of proper investigation now goes on and lives their life, and then they have to, they're left
right.
there to put together their pieces.
I think there's something worse than the victims being left victimized and being victimized a second time by the university. And that is that this is exactly the same as what's happening right now in the U.S. military. When the perpetrators of sexual abuse are almost never held accountable, and when the victims are further victimized by the institution, as they are in the U.S. military, the rapes are always blamed on the person who is raped and never on the person who rapes the woman, then what you get is more rapes. You get more sexual abuse. So what the University of Florida State accomplished is that they not only victimized the victims, but they're going they have created an environment where more and more young girls are going to be sexually abused by student athletes, because the student athletes know they can get away with it.
Yeah, and the university is actually not going to get away with anything here, because now they're under fire for they're starting to look into they were one of the lowest sexually mm-hmm. assault reporting of,
right.
of universities out there, and now that's and then you hear about these two that they didn't report.
Right.
So now the university is going to be under fire for a bunch of this. And, again, you don't benefit anybody by
right.
leaving somebody that has been accused of multiple sexual assaults. You're not benefiting him. You're not benefiting the victims. You're not benefiting anybody in society by allowing people to get away with this and continue on like nothing happened.
Let me give you another example, Scott. I was listening to countless radio talk shows with the people that had Heisman votes, saying that unless he is indicted, that he's innocent unless proven guilty. And if he isn't proven guilty, I'm going to vote for him to receive the Heisman. And at the time, I had read all of the evidence that was available on this case, and it was so obvious that at the very least, this young man was involved in inappropriate sexual contact with a female. But I said, you know, where's your morality? Where's your sense of judgment? And so the media, I think, is complicit in all this. The media has lost the ability to act morally. We're going to return to Shattering Myths and this discussion on what has happened to us and what are we doing to ourselves. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're talking about the Jameis Winston story at FMU. FSU, Florida State University, won the Heisman Trophy this past year and a national championship. There is an interesting part of this story whereby the president of the University of Florida State at the time, his name was Eric Barron. His salary was paid by the Florida State Athletic Boosters Association. Do you think there was an incentive for President Eric Barron to avoid doing an investigation and holding this young man accountable?
Very much so.
Yeah, definitely. Again, FSU is the only one that benefited from this. They won a national championship.
And the Heisman Trophy back at Baylor, president of Baylor did an analysis of how much positive publicity that came to that university as a result of RG3 winning the Heisman Trophy, and he estimated its value at $500 million. And so at Florida State University, it's worth a similar amount of money. And so he was willing to overlook this young man's issues. Now, when we talked about this, and before we go back to how we would have handled it, you know that Eric Barron has a new job. It was announced in February. Guess where he's going?
Where's that?
Penn State. Penn State, the university that was ravaged by a cover-up of sexual pedophilia at their university, hired Eric Barron, the guy that overlooked and hid, covered up the sexual abuse charge leveled at him by this young lady on behalf of his football program as well.
Well, I never thought you'd do it, but you managed to connect the NCAA football with the Vatican and how they handle things.
Yeah, it is the same crime. You cover up sexual abuse like is being done in the military, and bad things happen. More people get abused, and ultimately the cover-up leads to a far greater disaster than just doing the right thing in the first place. You know, what you guys talked about was that at the very least you tell the young man that after talking with the alleged victim, that President University, athletic director, coaches all call the three football players aside and say, we've heard the case that has been brought against you. Now, do you have the right in a as part of a team to claim the constitutional right of against self-incrimination?
No, not really.
It's part of a trial.
Yeah.
Part of a trial, right? And is playing football at a university a right or a privilege?
It's definitely a privilege, but what I would say is you can claim, you can not self-incriminate yourself, but they also have the right to remove you from the team if you do that.
Right. You know, you're being accused by two women of sexually abusing them, and you may want to hide behind a lawyer and claim that I'm not going to talk as it relates to the media. You may be able to say that as it relates to the police. You might be able to say that at a trial. But as part of a team, why would any coach allow that to say, young man, you've been accused twice of sexually abusing women? Now, I'm here to tell you that whatever we talk about, I will keep private, but you need to convince me you didn't do this, or we can't have you be the face of this football program.
Or at least make an attempt to convince that you did. I mean, he didn't
right.
even do that.
Well,
no.
That, especially since your coach is all, as somebody that's played football for many, many years, your coaches are all people that, oh, they're molders of young men. And,
correct.
And they really take, good coaches take pride in that.
Correct.
And by doing this, you're not helping anybody. Again, you're not helping anybody.
Of course. Yeah, you're, what you're doing is wrong for everyone. In my view, and you guys, correct me if I'm, if you think I'm out of line here, if he was unwilling to provide testimony that says, you know, that this really was consensual, okay, you know, maybe I'm too aggressive in my sexual appetite and I need to tone it down, but could demonstrate how it was consensual. And to, you know, a reasonable degree, then maybe you let him play. But if he can't, you know, you need to suspend him for a number of games, if not for a season. And then you need to explain, you know, we're concerned. We're not convicting him, but there's enough here that is certainly concerning. A great example would be Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger had an accuser that accused him of rape. It was in a civil case because they didn't bring a criminal case in that issue because there were some issues with the credibility of the witness. But she brought a civil case against Roethlisberger, which Roethlisberger settled out of court for about $1 million. And then Roethlisberger is in a nightclub in Georgia, and he has another woman accuse him of sexual assault in a bathroom associated with that nightclub.
And I believe that one ended up not being prosecuted because there wasn't enough evidence one
right.
way or the other.
So Roger Goodell says, you know, young man, you need to explain to me why we should not set you down for a number of games and withhold millions of dollars from your salary. Or you need to apologize, admit that your behavior is out of control, that you need to clean up your act, that you have done a disservice to yourself and to the NFL and to your teammates and to your city, and accept a reasonable punishment for this sort of thing, even though it's not ever appeared in front of a jury.
Well, that would be accepting your actions were inappropriate, and getting an answer.
And by the way, Roethlisberger did.
He was
set down for what was supposed to be 6 games. Turned out to be 4 games. He lost $4 million. He went to counseling. He admitted that he was wrong. He provided compensation to the two alleged victims, and that would have been a perfect example for the University of Florida State to follow.
Exactly, but there again, Roethlisberger sat down, explained his actions. Winston's
yes.
not even doing that.
So here we have a business that did the right thing, and we had an individual that accepted responsibility, and that's in a business. But we have a university that is supposed to be protecting and molding young men and women's minds, and they are unwilling to protect women against victimization by men, and they prefer notoriety and dollars to morality.
And when you combine that with the police force being incompetent or intentionally not pursuing the evidence, it makes it so they can get away with things like this to the point. I mean, now it's
right.
all out and there will be some backlash, but up until now, they won a championship, he won the Heisman.
Right.
All is good there.
But what does it say about the media, about universities at large, about collegiate football, about what's happened to our society?
It says that we care more about things that that shouldn't matter than things that do matter.
Right.
The protection of women is something that people should be very high on most men's list.
It should be.
And it should be.
Yeah.
And this just says that we care more about winning a stupid football game than protecting innocent women.
You know, I've found that in almost all cases, there is a litmus test that tells you the morality of a particular institution or society or nation. And one is anti-Semitism. If you take a defenseless minority and you victimize them, and the other is sexual assault, whether that sexual assault is against women or against children, against a victim that is physically unable to, in many cases, fend off the abuser. And what we find here at Penn State, what we find here at Florida State, is that they're siding with the victims, the victimizers. They covered up the atrocities done to victims, which enabled the victimizer to harass more young women. This is not a good thing.
Not at all. And being that now, like Aaron just said, everything's coming to light. Everybody's going to eventually get their due in this. And it's probably going to be much harsher than it would have been if they would have taken the proper steps to begin with.
Can you imagine, though, being Penn State? And you fired your president, you fired your football coach because they covered up an act of pedophilia that was perpetrated by someone who wasn't even associated at that time with the university. He previously had been. He wasn't at that time. And yet in the case of Florida State, you have these two women that have accused this football player, and the president of the university at that time is the fellow that you hired to replace the outgoing president of Penn State. How could you be that stupid?
Yeah, talk about putting yourself right back into the frying pan. I mean,
oh my! And he hasn't. The Penn State hasn't said maybe we ought to make another choice. That was really pretty stupid of us. Our universities. I've been concerned for some time that our universities, because of their zeal for political correctness, have precluded the exercise of good judgment, and it appears that the universities themselves can no longer exercise good judgment which is indicative of their students.
Yeah, and there again, I believe I read some stuff on this when you mentioned it to me before. A question that has to be asked is, has Penn State learned nothing from their previous instances?
Apparently not. They're filling their football stadium again, and the endowment is going back up again, and they settled all of the claims out of court so that they wouldn't be exposed again. I'm not sure that they learned anything. And I know that Florida State, rather than when the New York Times article came out, rather than saying, you know, we blew it. We blew it. There is no excuse, because there is no way that the police department in Tallahassee responds the way they do unless there was a general feeling that was being communicated from Florida State that that was appropriate to protect the university. They should have just said, we're guilty. You know, we did the wrong thing. We need to resolve our problem. But no, that's not what the response says. No, there were some oversights, some overstepping in the New York Times piece. That's the best they could do. You ought not say anything unless you have a good response. And they have none. Admit you're wrong, folks. Welcome back to Shattering This. We shared one story, which was the Ben Roethlisberger story, to show that a business had a much more functional moral compass than did either of the two universities, Florida State or Penn State. There's also another story in the NFL, that of Michael Vick. Guys, share what you think the Michael Vick example ought to have told us.
It shows you that in sports, people want you, they're willing to forgive you in sports. There's tons of examples out there to where as soon as somebody admitted they were wrong, they come out and the fans come back. They start supporting you.
Right.
Michael Vick, there's Michael Vick jerseys again.
Right.
I mean, there was a long time where people...
I'm a dog owner. I love dogs. What Michael Vick did with dogs, I think, is despicable. Michael Vick not only served his time, but Michael Vick has come out and said, listen, I was wrong. What I did was absolutely horrible. It's inexcusable. And I ask for your forgiveness. Under that basis, you forgive him and you move on. I mean, it's that is the right way to handle it. What Jameson says, he approves that I did nothing wrong because he got his Heisman Trophy and the court case didn't go through because of the malfeasance of the Tallahassee Police Department.
Yeah, I would agree that Michael Vick is the way that this should be handled. I mean, he came out, he owned up to what he did, he was prosecuted.
Yes.
Whether you feel he did too much or too little time, which seemed to be a topic that people disagreed on, he did what was written on the books for that crime. Since then, has come out, been completely reformed, did the 180 like you said, and now he's trying to avoid dogfighting. So,
and the majority of NFL fans, there's a loud-spoken minority, but majority of NFL fans, and I'm an NFL fan, support Michael Vick. I'd love to see him do well. He's an example of being responsible, of taking responsibility and correcting one's behavior.
He's even gone so far as to start combating the thing that he got in trouble for.
Right. Absolutely.
He is very much against dogfighting.
Yes.
And lots of people would say, oh, that's the knee-jerk reaction. If I want to recover myself for being prosecuted for this, I'll just do the opposite.
Well,
and whether you think that or not, he's still doing it. So
for good behavior.
Yeah, whether you want to applaud him or not, he is doing the good behavior.
And two businesses ago, I was confronted twice with employees, female employees, who claimed that they were sexual advances made inappropriately towards them by male employees of the company. And I'm going to tell you that we were not in a situation where we would have tolerated either one of the two saying, you're only going to talk to me through a lawyer. If they were to say they were going to only talk through a lawyer, we'd have had to suspend both employees and say, you guys work it out in court, and we'll reconvene when this is over. But as a business owner at the time, my responsibility was to listen to both claims, to be as supportive as I possibly could to the employees, listen to their various claims, and then at the end of that, say, you know, whatever you choose to do through the legal process is your choice, but based upon what I've heard here, and we did not allow someone to say, you know, you're not going to, you're going to hide behind a lawyer. That based upon what was said, my recommendation was that the employee resign, and that we chose to compensate and exonerate in both cases the alleged victim. And neither case ended up going to trial because the person who said, I have been abused, felt, wow, the company supported me. They reached out to me. They did the right thing on my behalf. And the person that I think did inappropriately is now gone. You know, it didn't take a court of law. It's what should have happened at Florida State University immediately when the second claim was lodged, maybe even when the first claim was lodged.
There again, having a job isn't a right.
Correct.
Not being sexually assaulted, that's a right.
Correct.
That's not being assaulted. That's a right as a person.
Right.
Having a job is not a right. You know,
right.
Playing football is not a right. So I just think that they're putting too much emphasis on the wrong thing.
Right. It's the coach of that football team, the athletic director, and the president of the university all should have been fired as an example so that others in their position would not act so callously and irresponsibly going forward. It's the reason why I think that the majority of the 3- and 4-star generals and admirals in the U.S. military ought to be fired, and that we ought to start with a clean slate and remove the jurisprudence capability of the U.S. military. It should not be the military system of justice. But you have in the U.S. military only 1% of rapists are prosecuted, and the victims of sexual assault are victimized again by the military. And so this is a prominent and significant problem in America, which is why I thought it was worth the hour of our time to discuss it. I want to thank both you and Aaron and Scott for participating. Thank you, guys.